Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello.
Welcome to Porch Talk.
We are A Different Threat.
And Anna Lamare.
And this is Deep Water Fish. Thank you.
guide you home. I will guide you home. I'll guide you home.
On the porch. Where do we go from the end of the...
Do you want me to do one now? I wasn't sure if you wanted me to end it or... Yeah? Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, let's go ahead and... Let's get the music going.
Let's get the music going. Okay. This song is called Carlton Motor Lodge Room 129. Find the quiet in this hotel room, but the spigot keeps on dripping, and each drop is a typhoon, and the madness quickly deepens as his body drinks the heat. Try to sink below the surface, had my head below my ear. All you hear is heartbeats, love is thunder, it will crash. And you sense how the silence makes a tender tear and slash. Break the space, breathe the breath, stretching moments more each time. Small choices make our story. Slight changes shift our spines. When the night comes, darling, do not weep away your pain, give it all to me. The dark is love and it can free. Dark is love and it can free. I see you in the shadows, stewing softly in the air. Will you stay with me till morning? Are we too far gone to care? Blood is death and blood is life. If it knocks, will you answer? But who are you answering for? When the night comes, darling, do not weep away your pain. Give it all to me. The dark is love. Dark is love and it can free. When the night comes, darling, do not weep away your pain. Give it all to me.
Wonderful. Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. I am off camera It does not matter. I have a Robert. Alisa.
Shh, but that's okay.
Shh.
Alisa.
And Lamar.
Eh.
Been a while. Eh.
And Lamar, eh.
Mare.
Lamare.
How many things can I say? Your voice has gotten better.
Thanks.
Sincerely.
Thank you.
You got a howl and a vibrato, more about you, since last I heard you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cool. Mm.
I really like that. I was under the impression we were coming out of Texas. I'd never know Havana. North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where we're based.
That's where we call home.
So, tell me a little bit, Robert, Alisa. Where are we from? How did y'all meet? And the name, Sake.
Robert and I met busking in Galway, Ireland in 2016. It was the day after St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And we ended up singing together on the street before we knew each other's names or anything else about each other.
And we got this kind of click with our harmonies as if we'd sung before. And the whole street stopped
really
and
good.
Stared. So we thought, okay, we could make some money here. And we did. We made some money, didn't we?
We did.
But it's we kept doing it. And
we've
very.
We've come a long way from then. We've been traveling. At first we were traveling to stay together because we're from different countries and so you can't just be in the same country indefinitely. And then as of a year and a half ago we got Robert's green card.
And
so now we're able to be stateside and be
beautiful.
Yeah, based
Chapel
over
Hill.
Here.
Well,
yeah.
Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. But before that, how did you both end up in Ireland, huh?
Well, I was there kind of trying my hand at being a solo performer. So I'd booked a couple of gigs, but I was mostly busking. It was right when I'd just started playing out.
Why Ireland, Robert?
Well, something about the Irish music that's always called to me. And I'd never been. And I felt like it's right there and I've never been. I should go, you know. And so,
fair enough.
First time I ever went was when we met.
Yeah.
And we went back a few times. And
yeah.
Alisa was
Alisa.
There.
Well, I was living down in Guatemala as a solo performer there with my ukulele. And then a buddy of mine from Massachusetts called me up, and he and I had always kind of joked that we were going to go to Ireland together. And so he was like, me and a buddy are going to Ireland for 10 days. You should come with us. And I was like, I'm not going to go to Ireland for 10 days, man. If I get over to Ireland, I'm going to get there, stay there as long as they'll have me.
Mm.
And so I went over and I had met a woman from outside of Dublin down in Guatemala. She had become one of my closest friends. And so
Was you around Antigua for that to happen? Like, what part?
I met Linda in Antigua, yeah.
Yeah, that's
I met her
touristy.
At Cafe Sky.
Mm-hmm.
I met her at Cafe Sky, and
I've been there.
She was a
beautiful place.
Yeah.
There were lots of people having very like surface conversations around me, which I understand there's a time and place for surface conversations, but Linda and some Australian guy were like talking world politics, and I was like, I have to know you.
You a fan of politics?
She was great. I'm a fan of Linda.
Okay.
And she was great. And she toured me around Ireland for 10 days, and then I met up with my buddy from Massachusetts. We toured around Ireland for 10 days, and then on the 21st day, I met Robert Buskin.
All right, Anna, get in the mix. How'd you meet these wonderful people?
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I lived in Chapel Hill. I was there from 2010 to 13, and I booked bands at a venue called The Station and Southern Rail. That is a really cool, well, it's no longer a venue, but it was for a long time. It was this really great spot, and it's like kind of where I learned all about Appalachian music and bluegrass and just like folk music from the States, all from the bands I got to book there, because we had music 7 nights a week, and there were bands that came through all the time. But there were some local bands that we booked a lot, and Alisa was part of one of those bands, and so she played with a band called the
Bevel Summers.
Bevel Summers, thank you. So there was a band called Bevel Summers. They'd come play sometimes. I met her, through that. And then I moved away, and then and we didn't know each other super well, but we had crossed paths.
And we weren't, like, friends online or anything, so I hadn't seen Anna in years and years and
How did how did you cross paths again?
So we went to the Southeast Regional Folk Alliance that was held in Black Mountain last year.
It's like a folk convention.
It's a beautiful thing. Oh, you know, Steve Ellis from here in town?
Yeah.
That's how he found Anna. And it's in New Orleans this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to make my first appearance.
We're going to make our first appearance.
I can't wait to watch you play.
Yeah, so there's they've got, like, regional ones as well as the big one, and so we were at, met at the Southeast version of it.
Yeah, and I was like, why do I know your name is Anna?
And why do I know your name? I was like, I know her voice, I know her face. Yeah, and so, and then we realized, we're like, oh my gosh, this is from
Chapel Hill Days.
Yeah, yeah, and then Robert was there.
At that conference,
I'm just here for the ride,
Robert, back to you just for a second. I don't get this much of an opportunity, but just with music, with where you're from, and getting into it, man. I can't tell you just how much British rock and even today with Charlie XCX, as far as she influences American music. How did you get into music?
Well, my dad had some vinyl records, Jimi Hendrix, Bob Dylan. And then a lot of Thin Lizzy.
You've always been a folk guy, huh?
Just about.
Folk and rock, like, those are the two that really got me. Until I discovered, you know, Piedmont blues. Which, I guess I first got into that through Doc Watson. And then, you know, found, like, Blind Boy Fuller and Reverend Gary Davis and Elizabeth Cotton, who's from Carborough, which is down the road from where we live.
Yeah, the Freight Train song.
So I learned this song in England before I'd ever been to the States. But, you know, growing up in Birmingham, we had Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath, like, on our doorstep. And my music teacher, he said on the last day of school, he had this really great Birmingham accent. He went, "All right, lads, come in the back room. I want to show you something." And he pulled out his old desk and he, like, fired up some buttons, and then Ozzy's voice came out of the speakers on its own. And then he slid the guitar in, and there's Tony's guitar and the drums. And so he had this, like, hard recording of the band before they were called Black Sabbath on his desk. And he'd done this studio session when they were just starting out for them.
And y'all had that in curriculum?
No, he just, like, let us in on the back room and was like, let you play with Ozzy's voice on the slider and the EQ and stuff.
Are you kidding me?
No, it was awesome. It was like,
wow.
And that moment, he just spelled out the whole album for me, because he broke it down into its parts for us and showed us how they were mixing together. And I was hooked from then. So
I mean, so early life, I mean, like, was it always going to be music? I mean, what did you think about, what was you going to make of yourself?
I was going to do art, but...
in some capacity, right?
Yeah, I was going to be, like, an illustrator. That's what I studied, but it looked like kind of a lonely, solitary existence. I wanted more people, more community in my life. And so I thought music would have more of that.
Absolutely. And Alicia?
It's always been music. I mean, it's been lots of other things too, but I've been writing songs since the first book that I ever wrote anything in, when I was like six. There are three songs in there that I wrote.
6 years old.
They're not good songs.
What part of the country?
I was in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Well, I was in Durham.
Native.
Durham, North Carolina. I was born in Manhattan. We lived in Brooklyn when I was little, but then we moved down to North Carolina. And I lived there.
For what? Would you say?
For why?
Yeah.
Why did we move out of the city? Yeah. Oh, because my mom never wanted to live in the city. She grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina, and she wanted to be close to
trees. She met your daddy at school?
She met my dad at her... He didn't go to her school, but his sister did. So he visited a few times, and that's how they met, yeah.
Alicia loves New York City,
though. We've been together a long time. I do love New York City, and I've roped Robert into selling Christmas trees with me every winter.
What do you think you love most about the city?
It's a choose-your-own-adventure book. It's just like anything you could dream up. Like, anything you want to get into,
okay,
it's there. You have to be determined, and you have to, like, find it. Otherwise, it will just, like, swallow you up.
And since the last time we met, been following your journey. I'm very happy for you.
Thanks.
But I have to say, with this port session, particularly, well, no, not at all. Your entire, your guitar work and your voice is way better, in my opinion.
Thanks.
I'm guessing it just comes through practice in the road. Yeah. But
I hadn't really done much more than a couple songs in front of people like 2.5 years ago. So when we met a year, I was only like a year-ish in. So I hope that I've gotten better. So thank you.
You're a hell of a go-getter. You strike me as somebody that's just been getting after it since... Well, I'm 18. I'm done with school. It's time. You know? just following your journey and some of the places you've been and traveled, and praise God for somebody like you who is passionate about bringing alongside someone like Robert and Alicia. I mean, you're good for it. So, like, where'd the heart come from as far as... well, we got to get this music around, huh?
I'm somebody who's usually quit most of the things I've done in the past. So, like, and, yeah.
I'm a proud quitter, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A little harder to quit when somebody's with you?
Well, I mean, just in terms of the whole, I mean, yes, of course, but in terms of the whole, like, just doing this job, everything in it. It was really strange because like I was pre-med during COVID and then I quit and was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And I didn't want to do music my whole life because my mother's a musician. I was like, no, like I won't do it. And then
why'd you feel that way?
Because I saw how hard it was and I saw how much she struggled despite her talent. And I didn't want to have to rely on other people to survive. And so when I decided to do this, it kind of came up and I kind of looked at it and I was like, I don't, that doesn't make sense, but as soon as I said it out loud to my therapist, I was like, it just, everything settled and it felt right for the first time of anything I'd ever said I wanted to do. And it just, and I knew that I'd like done enough internal work that I could tackle it in a mental way, at least. Mm. And then I took like, you know, almost a year before I actually even started really like performing live, just like business researching and like just writing and getting on stage for open mics and stuff. And then as soon as it was like, all right, I want to do more work. And then I just jumped on the road and that's been since. It'll be 3 years in December since I got on the road. And it's been like, it's community is everything too. And it's like, it is still a pretty solitary life. In music, it can be, especially if you're traveling a lot. And so, it's really nice to be able to do these runs with people and be able to share it because it's like you get to like learn from each other and grow and spend time with good people and it's like it's important. So yeah, it's, you know, and everybody wants to make their work and make it.
Absolutely, and I totally see the business aspect of what you have going on. Mm-hmm. I receive a lot of DMs and emails yours always have a way of getting right to the point, which is something that I like.
Yeah.
But it's also like, it's also very personal. Like, I feel like I'm talking to Anna, or I'm reading Anna. It's like, it's not just structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice, and you do a good job of constructing it. And, man, welcome back to Columbus, Mississippi. Hey. I'm so glad that y'all got to, I wanted to brag on our host, Miss Jamie Nettles and Tommy.
Tommy.
Wow, what a place, huh? We've had a lot of great shows here.
It's got an atmosphere to it.
You ever been to Mississippi? Have you?
We went to Jackson once.
We did go to Jackson once.
Where'd you put Doolin Hall?
We just went and walked around.
Robert's last name is Jackson.
We were passing through, kind of, so...
We've learned the song Jackson, you know, by Johnny Cash.
We'd heard about Jackson, you know.
And so we figured we would check it out.
You gotta go to Starkville before you go. There's a wonderful mural in Starkville. It's on Lafayette Street. South Side. It is Johnny Cash getting arrested. Johnny Cash got arrested in Starkville, Mississippi for picking wildflowers.
Really?
What was his wife's name?
June Carter.
That's right. He was getting wildflowers for June. Wow. And he don't live far from here. Uh-huh. Actually, he sold the place and he's in Vermont now, but Burlington. Shout out, Monk. But his grandmother was the person that called the cops on Johnny Cash and got him arrested. It's like, there is this guy all in black picking wildflowers in my neighbor's yard.
Must be crazy, yeah.
And they came and scooped him up, and they have the mural painted of him holding, like, his number.
Wow.
And
I thought that was him holding wildflowers.
You're right.
I thought
you were like,
should have been.
Yeah.
Should have been. Wildflowers. Yeah. I think on the mural there are wildflowers.
Yeah, nice.
Very cool. Well, guys, I don't want to be very long. Can I do 5 more questions and we wrap it up?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Pass the Robin.
Yeah, yeah.
Robin.
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 Very cool.
Robin Hood.
Hello. Man.
Yeah.
In America.
Yeah.
Ooh, I want to pick your brain on this. If you could play a venue, like, think about when you was first getting into music and this thing, like, what hall, amphitheater, where would you play?
Well, I mean, the Grand Ole Opry is probably up on the list.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Yeah.
Now, do you want the Ryman, the old one, or you want the new one?
I suppose the old one. Yeah.
The Ryman,
yeah. I mean, I used to watch the 1960s and 70s Grand Ole Opry shows at Christmas time, so I always associated them with that time of year, you know, the holidays. And I watched so many episodes of the show, and, you know, Johnny Cash, June Carter, all on there, and everyone else. And it just seemed like a dream to me, you know, like a dream world that they'd created. And, you know, it didn't age that well in some ways, but I'd love to get on that stage and kind of feel the atmosphere of that room and get to sing a song in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Alicia, traveling, Durham, born in the Big Apple, take a bite, would you? traveling down to Guatemala, going over to Ireland, what was you looking for?
Well,
change.
I have loved traveling since I was a teenager. When the year I was 15, my family moved to St. Louis, Missouri. And my older two siblings were out of the house. It was just me and my brother, Alan, and our parents. And we moved to St. Louis. And I made a bunch of friends there, and then we moved back to North Carolina, and I just kept wanting to spend time in St. Louis. So I just kind of, at about 16, started bouncing around, staying at different friends' houses and stuff. I was homeschooled, so I had that freedom, and my grandparents were in St. Louis, and so I would go there sometimes to, you know, if my grandfather had a fall or after he had a stroke. I was, like, almost a grown-up and dispendable, and I could just get sent, and I wanted to see my friends.
Sure.
So that kind of got the travel bug in me. And then after college, I had moved down with an ex of mine back to Durham. And that relationship was manipulative and abusive in ways that I took a long time to kind of realize, and it got pretty bad before I escaped from that. And so part of it was I started traveling again in part to get away. And I met a lot of people in my travels, especially like solo female travelers who have similar stories. Mm. And that a lot of people say, you know, oh, you're so brave to be traveling alone, or how do you feel safe as a woman alone? And I was like, I'd rather take the random stranger in the street than what I was living with, you know.
Wow.
Back in my hometown, and then to have to leave my hometown because I don't feel safe there. And it's been a journey.
You're still there.
Still in that area.
You're still there.
And I've been wanting to live in that area for a really long time. And
you.
now we do. So I don't know.
Hey, just while we're there, just to add on, you kind of touched on it.
Mm.
I'm just thinking about a lot of young teenage girls that I know that are maybe they're in the same situation.
Yeah.
And you kind of touched on that advice a little bit, but what would you say? What's step one? What's two? What's three as far as moving around and being safe?
Mm. Yeah, I think that there's a certain kind of naivety that a lot of young people have. But I think that overcoming that will happen whether you're staying put or whether you're traveling.
Sure.
Like, if you want to travel, you may have some of those hard lessons. Most likely it will be with quasi-strangers, whereas I think when you stay put, it's more likely that those experiences are going to be with people who you know or you thought you knew. Rather than if you keep moving, it's going to be with strangers, but you'll learn those lessons. I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Yeah. Because I think about that, you know, like, just with some of the travels that I've had. Mm. And, you know, like, we flew in packs, and, like, we, for the most part, when we were there, we were kind of traveling. And I was leading the pack, although, like, I had never been there before.
Sure.
But, like, just, like, my personality and just kind of, like, how I present myself is, like, it's a lot easier for me to kind of lead it up.
Yeah, I think that finding communities, even if they're like at whatever hostel or living situation you're staying in when you're traveling, or they're the local community that you're able to like tap into, I think that I've been really fortunate to be able to tap into so many different communities as I travel. And so then I know that there's some amount of checks and balances in like any sort of community, and even if I'm a bit of an outsider, probably there's community there for me too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Anna?
Yes. What's your question?
Ooh, I got one dialed up for you. Books.
Books. Ooh, yeah.
I want to know what you've been reading.
Oh, okay. Is it? I'm reading multiple things at the same time.
That's okay.
Okay.
Just plugs, people.
Okay.
Just
okay. Plugs. Okay. Right now, I'm reading. I think I'm reading three things right now. I'm reading a book called *The Living Mountain* by Nan Shepherd, which is she's a naturalist and hiker who spent her whole life in the Cairngorms in Scotland, and it's nature description account of the land, its animals, the rocks, the snow, the mist.
That sounds like an Anna song to me.
I write these books off of my taxes because I call them R&D. And then, so reading that one, I'm reading a poetry book by a Palestinian poet I think he's relatively younger, maybe he's about our age, but the book is called Things You May Find Hidden in My Ear, and that's been really beautiful and sad.
Just a second. Just, I hate to interrupt you, but we have some Palestinian refugees in Starkville.
Oh, you do.
And some of them are studying at State, Mississippi State. And I'm very plugged into the college community, like as far as just kind of being, I want to see what's going on. And man, I'll tell you, there's not a better people group to be around right now because of the treatment of their land and themselves. And those who are fortunate enough to be here or wherever you find them, ask them. And I think they'll give you into a window of a soul you haven't been able to quite imagine as an American. And I think it'll change your opinion and it may change your heart. So give it a go. Thank you.
Yeah.
But a shout out to those refugees. I always love spending time with them.
Yeah.
Just kind of picking their brain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like you and I, I mean, like, I have a dear friend. She's not Birmingham, but I don't remember. It's around this area, but she's from there. She lives up in Nashville now. And I'm a huge, like, you ever seen the film Green Street Hooligans?
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of like my introduction to, like, British football culture. And I have an affinity for that film. I love that film. And, like...
Yeah, it's a good film.
I just... Yeah. Is it true to form?
Yeah, I used to work in a pub. it was my first job. And, you know, it was a football pub. And there would be fights. And you'd see people who were friends just, like... punching each other because they supported different football teams, and then they turn and go for you.
Sure.
You know, I have to wear a tie that was a clip on because they would grab me by the tie, you know.
You just come off.
It would come off, yeah, yeah. and it kind of turned me off football after that, after watching the violence for so much, you know, it really just put me off. There is a dark side to that in the UK. You know, I think that it's been preyed on by companies who are making money from it, and it's been encouraged, kind of like when you put two badgers in a pit and make them fight, you know. I don't think we should
be
doing
that.
What
about culture here, huh?
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think maybe we showed you what we knew way back when people started coming from Europe to this continent, you know. I think they brought some of that with them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's not how I would choose to do things.
Yeah.
Like, non-violence is much better, in my opinion. Like,
we gotta be able to talk about it.
Archery or something like that, you know.
Yeah, that's
a target, like...
As long as you're not shooting each other. Yeah. A target.
All the football hooligans are coming with all those.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm better than you.
Spider-Man.
When I was a kid... when I was a kid, my dad worked for Duke, and Duke had a thing where they would... All the freshmen would make these huge benches, like enormous, way too big for a human benches. And then they would paint them. And then if Duke won the championship, then they would burn them all.
In celebration.
I didn't know about this as a kid. One night we were going onto campus where my dad worked, where he had to check on something. And it was, you know, it was evening time and the game had just let out. But I had also just been, like, I was aware of NPR and I was learning about Bosnia.
Oh, no.
And because, and I had met these refugees from Bosnia who we were helping set up getting them some of our
stuff.
You
understand. You get what I'm saying.
And we get onto Duke campus and these benches are burning and men are just running around and they're throwing toilet paper and they're doing silly string. And I press my face up against the glass like I'm in my booster seat. I'm like, Dad, is this war? And my dad was like, no, honey, it's just the basketball game. And I was like, we lost. And he was like, no, honey, we won. And I was just...
That's why,
like,
they're burning things.
It will never make sense to me.
Like, fly backwards.
War doesn't make sense, but also neither does burning the benches when you win basketball.
Finish your books.
the last one is called We Cast a Shadow, and I just started it. And it's really interesting. It's it takes place about two generations from our generation, and it's in a world where they've kind of receded back to kind of 1950s and earlier segregation and racism. And but at the time they have like skin lightening and kind of like procedures that everybody who's black is going through to like make themselves look more white. And there's this whole like the main character is a black guy who has a mixed race kid, and he's like trying to save up money to get the kid the surgery so he looks totally white because he's trying to like make it in the world. And I'm only like four chapters in, and I'm already just like, what is going to happen in this book?
Wow.
It's like it's almost sci-fi, but it's not sci-fi at all. It's just kind of like this is a morbid potential
dystopian future.
Yeah, dystopian future.
Sure. Exactly. And what was that book and author again?
The book is called We Cast a Shadow. I just started it.
We Cast a
Shadow.
Did you get it from the bookstore in town?
I got it. No, I got a couple other books.
You stop by Friendly City.
I always stop by Friendly City.
Friendly City was great.
Very cool.
But no, I got that at Baldwin's bookstore in New Orleans. And it kind of takes place in the South. Maurice Ruffin is his name.
Maurice Ruffin. Very cool. Well, there you have it. If you want to check out it kind of strikes me as like a They Live or, you know, like...
Yeah, I'm not sure. It could go more dystopian. Yeah.
Very cool. A story to tell.
Flow My Tears, the policeman. I was thinking of that. Philip K. Dick.
Alright, Alicia. Something I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Early days. Earliest memories.
Ooh.
Music impressions.
Earliest music impressions.
What's the first thing? Was it a church? Was it gospel?
I did not grow up in the church. I grew up going to an environmental festival that was run by hippies. And I would say that was probably my, like, first introduction. We would sing hippie river songs, and there was that. And then there was this guy, Bob Reed, and he's still Reed and Jeager is his duo that he has now, and they tour all over the U.S. and do lots of house concerts, but Bob Reed was probably my, like, he came to that festival when I was like 3 or 4. He at that time would have been in his like early to mid 20s. He had his guitar, he had his curly black hair. He was very full of energy and had all these songs that he'd written with kids that were like really easy to sing along, and I loved them so much. I was obsessed. Mm-hmm. And we were leaving at the end of that week. It's like you camp out for a week. And we were leaving at the end of that week, and I'm like getting like strapped into my, my car seat, and Bob comes running up and he gave me his tape, and that was the first tape that was my tape, and I rinsed it. I just listened to it so much, and he came and did a house concert. Reed and Jeager did a house concert at my mom's house, like maybe 2019, and just for old time's sake. He doesn't sing those kids' songs. That's not his regular repertoire. I think I still have the tape somewhere.
She got signed.
Yeah. I was obsessed. Like, when I was 11, I told my mom that, like, I had to take classes with him and be on his album. Like, I had to get involved with Bob Reed. And my mom was like, I mean, are we going to have to send her to California? And then he came to North Carolina, and he did a week at the summer camp that I was like already signed up to go to.
Oh.
And we wrote a song together, my first co-write. Anyways, I owe a lot to Bob Reed.
I'd like to open the floor up. It's a rabbit I've been chasing here on the show. It's something that I dealt with recently, and it felt like somebody gave me permission to go.
Mm.
Like I got signed off on like this unlimited check. It's a question about validation.
Mm.
So in the craft, in the arts, whether it's painting or
hell, traveling, or you know, just was songwriting. And when is a song ready to be played out in front of an audience? I guess that's when it's time. Mm-hmm. But what do you do with validation? And what do you do with those days to where you just feel like hanging it up? Mm-hmm. Where do you find hope? Where do you find the strength? Right? Mm-hmm. Where does it come from?
Yeah. Well, it comes from within, I think.
Yeah.
For me. Mm-hmm. It's like, no one else is going to do it for you. Just put one foot in front of the other. And, you know, try. I find journaling to be immensely helpful. And writing the same things again each day, you know.
One thing lately, Robert, I found is I'm very careful to say things out loud, negative about myself or anybody else. Mm. I don't want to speak that kind of crap into existence. Mm. I don't want to speak that on nothing.
That reminds me of a quote by Bruce Lee. He says, "Be careful with your words, because they have more power than you think. That's why they call it spelling."
There you go. There you go. Sure.
I believe him. It's Bruce Lee. Yeah.
Bruce Lee? What's not to believe?
Alicia, what about validation? Or what do you make of your travel? Your art,
I think, like, I wish I knew, maybe, where it comes from. Because all I know is that I have it in abundance. And I can't turn it off.
The last song you wrote.
Mm.
Where'd it come from?
The last song I wrote came from, it came from where I think a lot of my songs come from, which is being inspired by a few other artists and filling in the gaps. So it's like, I really like these songs, but it's not quite, none of them are quite scratching that itch. They're all reaching towards it. And so it's like finding, the, you know, like, this is one of the songs, that's another one of the songs,
sure.
That's one of the other songs, and it's finding that strange space in the middle that none of the other hands were able to reach, that
gets all the
Jackson Pollock sunscreen that never got there, the sunburn. That's where my songs come from.
Which question am I answering?
Validation or songwriting?
How do I find validation?
Yeah.
Or need it, or, where does it come from?
So far, for the most part, at least in this world, in this industry, the life that I'm living, something about when I made that decision kind of created this, like, I've generally been a very, like, I am a people pleaser. I am somebody who a lot of times, like, needs validation. In this, for the most part, I've managed to just be, like, that settling, that kind of just, like, it's kind of, like, it takes away fear. It took away kind of, like, a lot of walls and boundaries that I think I would have hit if I was in any other position or in any other part of my life doing a different thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's also taken away a lot of need for validation. Like, I have a standard for myself that I set, and because I know exactly what I want something, what something can be and how I want it to be finished when it's created. And that's been a really difficult thing to reach because I haven't found my people yet or the people I know how to communicate those things to, and I'm still learning how to communicate them, which is a really difficult part. When I know when it's done, like, that'll be the validation I need, is just finishing the thing I set out to do. Mm. I think I have certain people, like certain artists that I, like, kind of look up to and really respect that, like, I probably will be like, if you like this, I'll feel pretty cool. You know, like, there's definitely people like that, like, very, especially people who have really influenced me. But even some of those, I've run across, like, one or two of them and, like, had moments where, like, there's an opportunity to kind of listen to my music, and I realized I was, like, okay with it not
or, you know, yes or no being an insert and stuff. So I think I'm lucky. I think it's only because of this weird funnel that my brain went into when it made that decision, and for no other reason. And I don't really know how to explain it quite. Yeah, it's like it supersedes fear.
Oh, thank you, though. Okay. Thank you, Spine. Last question for you, and then I'd like for websites or social medias where to follow. Mm-hmm. I will do that. But I wanted to tell you this before we go. This is my challenge to you.
Okay.
Is you write a good story in your songs. You have great characters, and you write about great Southern tragedy. I want to know, because that's why I asked what you was reading. Mm-hmm. When's your next story song?
Like, what do I have one in mind that I'm trying to create? You mean?
Yeah.
Kinda? Well, I promised Steve Ellis I'd write a song about Columbus, so I've been messing around with some lyrics to somebody who's like a nomad, and is just like decided that the road is not for them, and they want to come back to Columbus. Mm. So that's a character in the story, basically. I've got like most of the lyrics finished for that, and it needs a little bit of work, and it needs a melody. I was working on it last night. I was trying to get it ready in time for this week, but it didn't quite make it.
Can't rush it.
Yeah, no, can't rush it.
Can't rush it.
But yeah, I think that one probably would be the answer.
Very cool, because I always look like murder ballads and things like that. Like I really find that in the way I love the vibrato of your voice, and you use it in a great way, and I think it sets itself up so well for a murder ballad that is just haunting. You know,
I just finished one about a woman who poisons a bunch of men, and
I know what book you was reading.
I didn't mean to, it just kind of came out, but I was like, oh, she's murdering them now, like, alright, here we go. But they tried to trap her, and it's their fault, really. So just saying. So there you go.
They had it coming.
Man, thank y'all so much for your time.
Thanks for having us.
For those of us watching or listening, if we want to keep up with the story, see where you're playing, just be interested in what's going on, where's the best place to do that? Website, social media, go.
It's adifferentthread.com, and on all of the same, on all the platforms, it's the same, just
without the .com.
A different thread.
Where did the name come from, real quick?
It's from a song,
that
actually.
Robert wrote with a friend of his.
Yeah.
Where they add on, there's an expression, we're all cut from the same cloth.
But a different thread.
There you go.
It's like, we're the same, but we're different.
Yeah.
It's like we're stronger in our diversity.
And, yeah, unity, diversity, that kind of thing. Yeah. Deep down, we're all the same, you know?
Hell yeah, we are. Yeah.
A different thread.
But we're all different, too.
A different thread.
And you can find me at annalamare.com, so that's A-N-N-A-L-A-M-A-R-E. And I don't have... these guys have music out on all the platforms, and new singles coming up. I don't have music out yet, but if you follow along on any of my social medias or my newsletter, which you can get onto on my website, you will get notifications when the first drops come.
And I'll tell you, invite her to your town. She writes it up so sweet. She does.
Oh, yeah.
She's a sweetheart. All right, thank you, everybody. This has been...
Thank you so much.
Porch Talk.
See you next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.